to formally say okay. sorry about my voice,
right, no
because
problem.
I don't normally sound like this.
I look forward to finding out what you...
Yeah.
I'm going to go on Matt and Ben and I'll be able to hear what your voice normally sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, you should be in far too many formats.
Okay, I'll look
forward
to it.
As many formats as you can imagine. Yes, yeah, we were talking about, because I said, you know, you're going to be very busy and I thought you were off doing Chortle later.
Yeah, I thought I was going to go and do Chortle Student Comedy Award tonight, but got the dates wrong.
Yeah.
So, and I'm never happy, genuinely, of years and years of doing stand-up, it's probably maybe, and I do 6 or 7 gigs a week, probably happened 3 times,
really?
maybe even less than that, but I've got the date for a gig one.
Are they all right now? Have they got a replacement, or they'll be fine? Chortle.
Absolutely, it's the biggest comedy website in the country. They'll find a comedian.
Yeah, but have you hosted those? They're really, I think they're great, those things, because they give up and coming, they don't really ask any questions. They just go, you know, entries are open and anyone can come in and do a bit.
Yeah, no, I've done a couple before. So Chortle and also So You Think You're Funny is also the other kind of big comedy competition for people where they don't ask questions, you know, so brand new people. So You Think You're Funny's criteria is allegedly, people bend it a little bit, but allegedly that you shouldn't be starting, so it's the heats are in like the June and you shouldn't be doing stuff like longer than the September before, you know, so
it's a criteria,
real new people.
Yeah,
which is brilliant.
So do you host that as well?
I've done a couple of them. We do it in a gig that I used to run in Bristol called Oppo.
Heard of it?
Which is at Channing's in Clifton, which two new comics, Jared Hardy and Finn Taylor, have kind of taken over from me. So that's every Sunday, and we did a heat last year, and we're doing another one this year.
Okay.
And I've done Chortle before. Lots of competitions actually I've compared over the years. It's always a fun thing to do because I like seeing new comics.
Do you kind of feel quite almost maternal over the...
A pattern.
Paternal.
A great distinction. Paternal. I really do, actually. Especially West Country people.
Because you're the daddy, aren't you, of all West Country?
I kind of see myself as more like the slightly perverted uncle. I'm happier with that than daddy. We'll go daddy if you want. I just really like making sure that people in this area are able to do stand-up and able to have easy access to stand-up, slightly selfishly, because the more spaces there are in Bristol, the more spaces there are for me to do new stuff when I've got time, so I don't have to travel around the country like I do. You know, I can minimise the amount of travelling that I do by having stuff going on in Bristol.
Well, it might be my perception of it, but is Bristol not in the best place at the moment for spaces? Or, I mean, just because of Jester's closing, that's my...
Yeah.
Or is it not? I'm a little bit out of it.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting question, actually, the kind of the state of Bristol comedy. Maybe 6 years ago, when there was Jester's, the Jongers, the Comedy Box, and at the Henry Chicken, things at the Tobacco Factory, and then there was myself, John Richardson, Russell Howard, and John Robbins doing lots of gigs in Bristol. It was healthy. Now, Jester's has closed down. Russell and John have moved away. John Richardson had moved away from Bristol. Bath Comedia has opened in that time, and that's an amazing gig. It's one of the best gigs in the country.
Bath Comedia.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Comedia have got a gig in Brighton. They've also got a gig in Bath, and they're brilliant cops. You know, they're really, really nice. So although it's not Bristol, it's close enough for us to get to. Will Hodgson still runs a gig in Chippenham. Oppo is still running. There are still things going on at the Student Union. Elf Lyons has got something going on in Clifton. There are always places to find stand-up.
Yeah.
If you look, you know, smaller gigs, if you look closely, there are. One of the problems with, or one of the things that's happened with the comedy circuit is, and actually it's probably Russell Howard's fault, which is why it's nice to be in Thornbury, because this is where Russell grew up.
Did he grow up in Thornbury? I didn't know that. Well, he's here sometimes, and there's always a sort of spur around Thornbury, like, oh, God, Russell Harris.
Also, do you not know the...
I didn't realise he grew up here.
Well, his family moved to Thornbury when Russell was 17.
Okay.
So his brother and sister went to school in Thornbury. Thornbury's an amazing... I mean, in Rockhampton, they all lived in Rockhampton. But James Dowdeswell, who's a great comic and a great friend of mine, he grew up in Tockington. John Robbins, who's a brilliant comic, he grew up in Thornbury itself. This guy called Ben Partridge, who went to school. Oh, Joel Dommett as well, who's doing really, really well. He moved to London, he does stuff on MTV. He's another Thornbury boy. For some reason, Thornbury...
It's a central...
It seems to... Yeah, there's something about... Maybe that's just because there's nothing to do.
It's very true. I mean, here we've got the hall, the village hall, and once a year a comedian comes down and does it, you know.
That's it. So, I mean, there's nothing to do in Bombay, so people, you know...
Forced to be...
Make websites and do stand-up. So maybe that's... But Russell's fault is that what's happened is more people are now touring bigger rooms. So 6 years ago... the Cosnall and the Hippodrome and the Tobacco Factory would have had maybe 10 comedians a year doing their gigs, whereas now it's 20 or 30 comedians doing their gigs. So what's happened is that the bigger end of the scale has got bigger, or the top end of the scale has got bigger, and the smaller end is still going on. You still find these little gigs in places where people can do new stuff and do different stuff. The bits that suffered is the bit in the middle, really, which is one of the reasons why Jester's closed down. But then Jester's is kind of reopened in a form at a place called Rip Raw Comedy, which is on a Saturday.
I've heard of that, yeah, but it's just... It's...
Which is a nicer room than the old Jester's.
Oh, is it? Yeah, right.
It's a nicer gig. Just, you know, it's not as often as it used to be.
Yes, yeah. So, in terms of comedy, you were saying about how, you know, all these big rooms and... do you think it's a good thing that so many people are doing comedy now, that it's so massive? Or... Because everyone's doing it, it feels like.
You've done it.
I've done
everyone's
it.
Everyone's done it.
Well, I've...
Yeah, depend on it.
Tried.
Ben refuses to do it. There's not a camera on Ben, is there? Ben just simply...
No.
Simply shook his head.
Audio commentary on Ben. Yeah.
He just simply shook his head. Is it a good thing? Yeah.
Mm.
I think it is.
Because the alternative is still kind of there.
Oh, no, they are. Absolutely. I mean, if you want to get incredibly geeky about it, which I can, because I am, sort of stand-up comedy started in this country officially in sort of 1970. It was the year that the Comedy Store and the Comedy Strip clubs opened.
So that's alternative comedy rather than...
That was the start of alternative comedy, as opposed to what we described as the mainstream, which was... programmes on the telly in the 70s, got like the comedians with people like Frank Carson and Mike Reed and you know, some of these other people, Max Boyce or whoever. And so what happened is that people went, I'm not sure I like this sort of stuff, I'm not sure I like the working man's club idea of it, so we're going to set up something a little bit alternative. And that started in 1979. In 1985, Maria Kapinski set up Jonglers Comedy Clubs in Battersea in London. So that's 6 years where lots of amazing stuff happened. Stand-up kind of started in this country. And then Maria saw the stand-up going on and realised that people would buy it in a slightly more professional way, with food and with a disco and with all that sort of stuff. And as soon as that happened, since then, that's kind of become the mainstream again. So although there are working men's clubs that all happened in the 70s, those are still there. A lot of those type of people wouldn't have gone to see... A lot of people who saw the comedians on the telly wouldn't have gone to see the little alternative comedy clubs in London.
Mm.
But when Jonglers opened, in the last 15, 20 years, that's where they've started going. You know, they've started going to Jonglers. And then people start selling big venues like Jimmy Carr and Michael McIntyre and Eddie Izzard and all that sort of stuff. And they sell
small theatres and then big theatres and then big arenas, you know. And so I think Michael McIntyre will perform on his big tour that he's doing next year to 3 million people.
Yeah.
Live in front of, you know, he's doing the Motorpoint Arena in Cardiff, which is like 12,000 people. Yeah. You know, he's doing that for 7 days in a row.
And the O2.
Absolutely, he's doing the O2 for 10 days. You know, he'll be selling 20,000 people tickets a night to see him, and that's amazing for people who want to go and watch comedy like that.
Have to see the spectacle.
Absolutely, to go and see the type of thing that they would have seen on the telly.
Mm-hmm.
But the alternative is still there. Small clubs are still there. Gigs that hold 60 people, 70 people. Gigs that hold 200 people. Comedians who don't do the type of thing that you'll see on the telly. I mentioned Will Hodgson, who is Chippenham based. He's an amazing comedian, but it won't. Daniel Kitson,
yeah,
is a perfect example. You know, Daniel Kitson that I saw you at and you saw me at last week.
Yeah.
Is all comedians, every single comedian that you will ever meet, if they know what they're talking about, will say that Daniel Kitson's the best comedian. He just is the best.
Yeah, there's no question.
Yeah, absolutely, there's no question.
And he's got a thing where he doesn't want to be popular.
He doesn't want to be mass market popular.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a big distinction between being popular and being mass market. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and would you count yourself with that? Do you?
Oh, I don't know. I'd go for anything. I genuinely take anything and everything. And I am able to do all those different types of gigs. You know, I'm able to do the big gigs where I've supported Russell. I've supported Michael.
So
Matthews.
Have you done the arena?
I think the biggest I did with Russell was 3,500.
Okay, is that a theatre or was that an arena?
That was it was an arena. It was the Bournemouth International Centre.
Okay,
but you know the Colson Hall is about 2,000. You know, so I've done those sorts of gigs.
Yeah,
but then I'll also do little gigs, and you know, go wherever I can, because the thing is, the great thing about stand-up is that, okay, you've got Wembley Arena or the O2, but essentially all you're doing is putting a microphone on that person and putting lights on that person.
Mm.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, no, totally.
Okay, there's thousands of people watching, but they're watching, and you need more lights and you need more sound because there's more people, but that is the same concept as someone doing a little gig in the middle of nowhere. I did a gig in the Swan in Almondsbury.
Oh, I think I know, yeah.
On
a
pub just off the motorway, and you just come out.
Yeah.
I did a gig there a couple of weeks ago with a microphone but not great sound in front of 30 people.
So you've got
same concept.
Got thing. Yeah.
And people will go and watch it. People will still enjoy it. So it's just really straightforward, and I don't mind more people doing it. I just wish people did it because they love stand-up, because I love stand-up.
Yeah, and it's actually you're doing it because it's stand-up, not because you want to get somewhere else with it. You don't want to be in a sitcom necessarily.
Exactly. I don't want to be a presenter. I do stand-up because I love doing stand-up. I'm really lucky to make money out of stand-up. I'm really lucky to make quite a lot of money from stand-up. I earn a good living. But even if I didn't, I would still do it. And I know for a fact that even if Russell Howard or John Richardson or any of my other friends who, Jimmy Carr, I know that if they weren't earning the millions that they obviously earn nowadays, they'd still do it because they love it.
Yeah, and I think, is it more the case now that people are doing stand-up for stand-up's sake rather than seeing it as a vehicle?
I don't know. I think people have discovered that there's money in it.
Right.
And so I think what might happen is that agents might book people or represent people because they think they're going to get money out of them. But actually, at heart, hopefully, those people who do the stand-up are doing the stand-up because they love stand-up comedy.
Mm.
So that's a long-winded way of saying the answer to your question. Everyone's doing stand-up. You go, well, a lot of people are, but good stand-up is still good stand-up and bad stand-up is still bad stand-up.
Do you see yourself more as an MC or as straight stand-up or both?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's quite an popular thing to say because so many people kind of look down on the role of the MC, especially comics.
Really?
Well, only in the sense that...
But you're kind of owning the gig, aren't you? Or...
Yeah. That's what I like it. But I love it. You know, and doing TV warm-up as well. You know, I love that role. I love doing that sort of thing in the gig.
Do you still do Deal or No Deal?
We still do Deal or No Deal, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, no, we're still going. We've got a couple of weeks off. And then tonight I'm doing 10 o'clock live. And then on Friday and Sunday I'm doing Would I Lie to You?
Oh, I know.
So
yeah.
That's coming back, so we're filming that tomorrow. So yeah, I do lots, you know.
But a lot of...
Lots and lots of warm-up. And it's the same sort of skill, you know, it's a similar... It's just chatting. That's what stand-up is, it's just chatting. You know,
yeah.
It's communicating, and rather than giving directions and communicating, go there, go left, at that pub, take a right, at that roundabout, third exit. You know, that's communicating. Everyone can do that. Comedy, doing stand-up, is communicating, but you know, communicating funny thoughts as opposed to directions.
Do you do a lot of the... I saw you at Comedy in the Dark...
Oh, did you?
Yeah, in Edinburgh.
Were you up in Edinburgh?
Yeah, I was up in Edinburgh this year.
For the whole month? Or?
No, because of 10 days.
Did you pay the visit?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was great. I love the festival. I've been up the last few years.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But I saw you do that. Do you do a lot of them?
I did pretty much all of them this year.
Really?
And they're taking it to the South Bank in London, sort of. April, May, I think, Mondays, and I'm doing a couple of them. Yeah, I really enjoyed them, actually. It was a really...
It's different.
Mental. Really fun, weird thing to do. Especially comparing, because I decided to try my style of chatting and audience participation in the dark. And it's quite different, because you can't kind of...
Yeah.
So things would happen.
Although, when I saw it, it was quite refrained. I think David Morgan was there. I can't quite remember.
Oh, yeah.
But then I was chatting to someone who was there with from Boosh, Rich Vulture.
I didn't do the Rich Vulture.
Did you not?
No.
But I heard...
It went off a bit, yeah.
That it was just... Well, because the thing is, it kind of works if you've got a captive audience and understand the... But if it's a Friday night or something, is it just, you know...
It could be tricky, yeah. It could be a bit weird. My favourite... I got two favourite memories from that. The first was Terry Alderton, who's a brilliant comedian, and he went up. Because what happens is, so... I compare, and it's light for 30 seconds, and then it goes dark for me for 10 minutes, and then at the end of that 10 minutes, the lights come up, and I introduce the first act. And they walk on in the lights, and then 30 seconds later, the light goes dark, and for 15 minutes, they're in darkness, and then at the end, it comes back up again. I mean, it goes like that for an hour. Well, Terry walks on in the lights go dark. Terry is brilliant at impressions. He says, I'd like to do my Stewartie impression. So does his Stewartie impression. And my Julian Clare impression. And does his Julian Clare impression. And now I'd like to do my Tim Byrne impression. And I'd like to do my Milton Jones impression. But while Terry is doing his first two impressions, he has arranged for Milton and Tim to walk on stage in utter pitch black. And so when he does his Tim Byrne impression, it's Tim Byrne doing it. And when he does his Milton Jones, it's Milton Jones doing it. And then they do their impressions, they leave, and as the lights come back on, it's Terry on his own.
Oh, I see.
It was, you know, some of the audience kind of knew
kind
what
of got
was going
it.
On, some of them didn't.
Was there a big reveal of it, or...?
A little bit, right at the end of the gig, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was, you know, it was... It's something that couldn't happen in any other type of gig.
Mm.
I did one. My favourite bit of comparing when I did it was I was chatting to the audience. I think I was asking him where they were from, and someone said he was from Spain. And I was asking him about Spanish swear words. I wanted him to teach us all how to swear in Spanish. And I said, "What's your name?" And this was in total pitch black. And he went, Galileo.
Galileo?
You went to Galileo. And out of the utter pitch blackness, and when I'm talking pitch black, I'm talking, you know, you cannot see. I don't know what it's like as an audience member, but as an act, you cannot see.
Oh, nothing.
Anything.
Yeah.
So I said, Galileo. And the bloke behind him went, Figaro. And the audience, as one, started singing Bohemian Rhapsody. The whole thing in utter pitch black, the whole thing with the guitar solo, like, da, 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 da. For 8 minutes, the lights came back on and I introduced a comic.
It was brilliant.
It was just, it's mental. Mm. And that's what Edinburgh can be, that's what Comedy in the Dark can be, and actually that's what stand-up can be, because that's the joy of stand-up, is that, especially the joy of smaller gigs, because you can, the unexpected will happen. The funniest thing can happen when you don't have that control, when you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm.
You know, that's what we like, but we like the danger of stand-up. And so what's happening now is that gigs like TV shows like Live at the Apollo and Michael McIntyre's Roadshow and those sorts of things, they don't sanitise it, but they do take the unpredictability into it. Because for telly, you need material. You need, here's a joke, here's a joke, here's a joke. Ba-bum. Whereas actually the joy of stand-up is those times when something, a once-in-a-lifetime thing happened. And you go, oh, wow, I can't believe that happened. And that's what's so exciting about it.
Is that why you like emceeing, in that it's always a bit different? It's not, you're not just recounting.
Yeah, I do. I mean, even when I do stand-up, I do it quite loosely. So I don't 100% know what's going to come next. I know all my material, but I've got lots of stories. I've got, you know, chunks, and who knows what order the chunks will go in when I'm doing it.
So you've got stuff you can rely on.
Oh yeah, and the bigger the room, the less chat you do, because it's very difficult. But I'll still mix it up and still see what happens.
Are you back at Edinburgh this year?
Yes, I'm doing a show. Chat show.
Oh,
about
right.
Comedy, actually, because you may have noticed that I'm slightly passionate and geeky. I don't know if you noticed that.
Something about you.
And I'm doing a show about stand-up, so it'll be me and two comedians every day.
Different?
Yes.
Yeah.
Talking about how we write, talking about what we love about stand-up, talking about how we became stand-ups. It's kind of like one of those comedy courses that you find, but kind of in an hour. I'm doing it 12 till 1. I did it in Leicester Comedy Festival, and it was myself, John Robbins, Russell Howard and Will Hodgson, and yeah, we did an hour. One of the complaints actually was it wasn't long enough, which is a lovely,
which is great
to have.
Yeah.
People wanted it to be an hour and a half as opposed to an hour, which is, which is good. So yeah, so I'm going to do that for, I'm doing that for 2 weeks in Edinburgh.
Okay.
Because there are so many other festivals, things like Green Man Festival in Reading and Leeds, and Bee Festival, and lots of those other things going on in August. So yeah.
You just spend all your time in the festivals, and yeah.
You can do, yeah. I mean, during the summer, I mean, I'm doing Latitude in July, which is a lovely festival.
You've done it before.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd love to go.
It's
but
brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a long way away. It feels like that part of Suffolk feels like further than anywhere else in the world. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, your serial killer show.
Yes.
Is that, have you put that to bed now, or is it?
I think it might be snoozing. I don't know if it's fast asleep. The problem is with my diaries. I did it in Edinburgh. It was a play. And I really enjoyed it. It was different. It was a different exercise for me to write that sort of thing. What I mean, I fill up my diary with warm-up and gigs. And so I don't have that time to kind of go, right, and now I will take this on tour. And, you know, now I will. Because I just get busy. And so, you know, it'll become something else. You know, a couple of meetings about, I quite like graphic novels and comics, and the idea of turning it into a graphic novel might still be there, or
okay.
a screenplay, or or something like that. So, but again, having time to do that.
Mm.
I mean, that the thing is that I earn a good living from stand-up, but the reason I do is because I gig and work.
You just keep going.
What I'd like to do is to earn all the money I earn every year in about a week, and then I can spend 51 weeks doing the other stuff.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
So do you think you will go on tour at some point, or...?
I don't know, really. Maybe. I really like gigging. You know, I really like gigging. I really like TV on my bike. I could go... Someone was saying the other day, oh yeah, you don't work because, you know, it's all about the money. You know, actually, I think I really like the gigs. Yeah, but you only like the gigs. You only go places free because you earn the money from the other gigs. You go, well, maybe, but I'll go, if I wasn't gigging tonight, I would go to Cardiff to try new material. A couple of weeks ago, Daniel Kitson, that Tuesday night, that was my only night off.
Right.
I'm going to see stand-up comedy. You know, I just kind of...
I
just really like it.
Yeah.
I like doing it and I like watching it. You know, I like talking about it. I really like it.